Blog Talk Radio.
Again,
is there such terminology as a guest host? I like that English.
Yeah, there's guest host.
No, I just like the way it sounds. Thank you, my friend.
Okay.
You've done a good job. I don't know what was happening with my connection at the end there where you asked me to summarize. I was talking, but you couldn't hear me.
Yeah, and you were not muted.
No, I wasn't. I was speaking and I couldn't understand why you were not hearing me. Anyway, that was a good discussion. I'll tell you this, at least you took us away from the fights we have early in the morning on political issues. Yeah, I know my children and Dr. Kasonso agree with me. They are laughing here, eh? Let me open the microphone. So you agree that he took us away from the political fights we have early in the morning, right?
I believe so, but I thought that that was maybe because my mouth was not allowed to open, so I just kept listening to the whole show for 2 hours.
All right,
what do you mean
fine.
Your mouth was not allowed to open?
I couldn't talk. My number was not recognized. I'm using a new number.
Yeah,
I think we... Were you on 7 or 8 number? Yeah, 6288, the one that ends 6288.
I think you had been called on several times and you were not saying anything, so...
Yes.
I attempted to respond to a greeting, and that's all I got, and I listened to the whole show. But the 6288, I was talking, and the words were not coming through.
Okay, now, we have a lot of things to talk about here. First, I want us to start with the Kofi Olomide issue. This is some sort of breaking news in quotes and quotes. I want us to start with that for a few minutes. He's been deported from Kenya for abuse against women. Then we are going to move to what I'm considering an analysis of Zambia's democratic and electoral process in the light of the just-ended Republican National Convention. What are the lessons we can learn from there? Trust me, there are a lot of things we can learn from there. And this is based on also that what has prompted me to do this, it's based on a post that Dr. Monsanje, those of you that are Dr. Monsanje's friends, he posted something to this extent on his wall. So I want us to get into that and talk about this. It's good to see every one of you calling, but Sewe, Dr. Monsanje, Zebron, everybody, I'm waiting. I'm told there's going to be a lot of Florida people calling in. Then on top of the hour, for like 20, 30 minutes, we'll talk to Chasaya. Sichilima, music composer and writer, is going to talk about a new single that he has released, which addresses violence and things like that. Okay, and I needed a lot of ladies to be here. Unfortunately, some of the ladies that I invited, they haven't called in yet, because at times we are accused, Matilda, of dominating discussions not based on things that concern women. So here is an issue concerning women, and I'm getting excuses. Let me read something here. Minister of the Presidency, Minister of Public Service, Youth and Gender Affairs, Office of the Cabinet Secretary, press statement on violence against female dancer by Kofi Olomide at the Jomo Kenyatta International Airport. Today, Kenyans witnessed with dismay an assault incident at the airport by renowned artist Kofi Olomide against one of his female dancers. His conduct is an insult to Kenyans, and flies in the face of our constitution and what we believe. Oh, wow, I like that. When you mention constitution, I like that. That's why I admire Ted Cruz, because he's a constitution guy. Violence against women and girls cannot be accepted in any shape, form, or manner. It is a blatant violation of their human rights. That is a statement I'm reading from the Kenyan office cabinet. You're all reading this. I do not want us to take a lot of time on this. Matilda, your response to that statement, and then we shall proceed.
Nathan, you had an opportunity to ask me this question during the previous call for just a minute. I just want to emphasize my point. Violence should not be tolerated like that. It's been going on in African countries way too long, and it's about time that we need to step up and stop it. So if this concept is moving to Zambia, the organizers, the promoters, the government, they need to stop this. The concert should not take place, and Mr. Olomide needs to know that we mean business. I propose that DJs in Zambia should not play Kofi Olomide's songs as a strong message to say we don't tolerate what he did. I know that he has been banned in France. I think it's been over 10 years. He has not been allowed to come back because of the way he has disrespected women in the past. Not only to the dancers, but to some of the people there. I believe there are even cases of rape. So that's my stance. I'm glad that the Kenyan government said the concert has been cancelled, and I hope Zambia follows the same way, and I hope other countries will do the same thing too.
Excellent, Matilda. You just educated me. I didn't know that he's banned in France.
Yes, he is.
Good job, France. Zebron, what should Zambia do?
I think they should follow what Kenya did. I know a couple of them said it's not. I don't think I'm right now, but
yes.
A couple of them has been known for being so abusive towards women. So I think Kenya took a good step as an African country, because a lot of African countries really identify things like that. They just like overlook them because, you know, the way, you know, women are treated. So I'm glad Kenya took a first step like this in Africa, and I think African countries should follow the same way. You know, we shouldn't just wait for European countries to tell us what to do. At least as Africans should identify that it's wrong, and then, you know, doing the same thing that Kenya did.
Okay. Dr. Tasson, so do you agree with Matthew and Zebron's analysis?
No, I do not agree with them. We all know Kofi Olomide is a violent character and a man without morals for a long time, and particularly the abuse of the people who work for him. Those touch on many issues, not just violence on women, but on how...
On women,
Oh, yeah, on how you conduct business and how just you treat human beings. The notion that we should follow suit of what other countries are doing is what I would be jittery about, because I think that when we make policy or when we do something, sanctions against an individual, we should have our own considerations and not just photocopy what is going on in other places. So if when he comes to the Republic, he wants to entertain his people who go to his shores, and he is going to conduct himself properly according to the laws of the Republic, probably that could even be a redemptive act for him. But the thing I want to observe about Kofi Olomide is perhaps he's even in the sunshine of his career. His heydays are past. And, you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. If he comes to Zambia, he commits crime, just jail him. Don't do anything like what they are doing in other countries, banning him, doing this and there and there.
Just jail him, man.
Yeah, just jail him. It's not anything. Just jail him. Just send him to jail and or send him to court or whatever. Do something like that. So, you know, but the big issue that we need to deal with is this issue of violence against women. We have to be honest. It's a cultural issue. Women have been abused, beaten in African homes for many years, and to this very date, that continues. Unless we have a strong public policy against that, the way they, for instance, the way they changed the laws about property grabbing when the Chiluwas came in government, you no longer go to a funeral in Zambia where they're going to grab property. You are going to end up in hot soup. So we need a strong public policy, an enforcement mechanism like that. It's a problem that can be dealt with. Then you can go by extension and talk about political violence. It's the same thing. But when we talk to people in authority, they're acting blind. This past week, I had a conversation with a very high-profile individual, and he was basically telling me that the political violence that you're talking about and the police participation in it is just hearsay and reports you're hearing. I'm not seeing any of that thing on the ground. And I'm like, okay, maybe I'm hallucinating, but I'm talking to family in Zambia, I'm talking to friends in Zambia, I am reading stuff on the media, I'm reading the department, Secretary Kerry. I'm reading all those reports, and I talk to this individual with the power and the force and the influence, and I'm just being nice and say, sir, this is what is going on. Are you aware of this and stuff like that? And he just dismisses it as political talk. I don't get that type of understanding.
Okay. Yeah, I just
Could
wanted
I
to get a few.
Nathan.
Okay, I don't want us to dwell on this so much. Okay, very quickly,
absolutely. I just felt like, okay, we can do something, put policies in place, but that's paperwork. But if we say something, that's action. You know, while the technocrats are writing these things out, that is good. But if we make a stance to say we won't play the music, the concert would not take place, it sends a message. Thank you.
Okay, let's move on. Dr. Munsanje, good morning. Oh, I need to...
I'm just listening about this, and I very late saw about this issue about Kofi Olomide. We all condemn him and what he's doing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. I want us to move on to our discussion. And the reason I'm saying good morning to you, because I want us to go to the post that you made on your wall on Facebook, okay? And for those that are joining us,
I'm
going to
read
this statement. Yes, and I want us to get into this level-headed discussion. Let me give everybody a warning. If you become emotional and you begin to show the typical Zambian patriotism to your political party, I'm going to shut you down. I'm not interested in that today. I'm not. I just want us to have a sober, clear discussion here. No finger pointing, no what. This is what Dr. Munsanje has written on his wall. You can go there and read it. For the sake of you are not his friends or didn't see it, let me read this. And it says, I quote, we Zambians should learn something from these conventions. I believe he's referring to the Republican and the upcoming Democratic Convention. Did you observe how the candidate was elected as a Republican presidential candidate? All the states voted. In our case, all provinces need to come to a convention for each party. Nobody's shooting anyone or removing posters for another party. That is primitive. We can do better. No one is closing Fox News, etc. Mr. Trump can fly anywhere in this country. We have a long way to go. Watch the Democratic Convention in Philadelphia next week. Who knows the running mate for Mrs. Clinton, which we know now, best kept secret. Okay. What prompted you to write this, Dr. Musanje, before I invite everybody to chime in?
Because in Zambia, some of the parties have not even gone for a convention. And the other parties, they can just show hands and select a leader. Now, that is okay if we accept it. Now, I have a title. All of you call me doctor, but I don't know some things. For example, what I wrote is that for me, being a simple man, I just take it that why can't we use provinces? And the land lawyer, Elias Munsha, he wrote back to say that why should all the provinces, Zambia isn't a federation of states. Well, please help me to explain how this can be done. For me, I just use the provinces as a layman. That is what it is. But what it is that let us go back and see how the Republican Party did it. They were getting delegates, and Mr. Trump got the best, the highest delegate. The highest number of delegates. He had to get more than 1,237 delegates, which he got. You know, then he became, at that time, he became a
presumptive. Yeah, presumptive. Mm-hmm.
Yes, but then now he came to the convention where his own son actually put him to the highest number of delegates. And he won the delegates. So I agree that with your statement, Nathan, that we have something to learn as Zambians. Let us use that to see whether we can do it. A few people disagree with that. And for me, I have nothing to lose or to learn.
I support
what I support is the system, and that's what I want for us to go. I don't support any of the whether Mr. Trump wins. I don't really care. So that is
from. Excellent. I like what you have said, and thank you for giving us that. Vasam of Florida. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Nathan.
Good morning. Here is my... I'm going to throw this to you, Vasam. You witnessed the way, like Dr. Monsanje has alluded, you witnessed the way the delegates from each state voted for Trump. They said Delaware has got 70, for example, 76. Five for Cruz, so many for Kasich, so many for Donald Trump. What is Zambia's lesson on that particular issue?
I love Dr. Musanje and I respect him very much. But I'm one of those people who don't believe in these delegates. I think they are proud. They are not straight. They are more kind. They are they are closed. See, these delegates, they are already chosen. Most of them are already chosen for political. Some of them are just appointees. Some of them are elected, of course. But I believe in, I think the delegate system is not good for United States
it's
or
not good.
Anywhere in the world. No.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, so then how should the convention be conducted? If so, in other words, you don't believe in conventions, Vasam?
No, conventions are good, but the whole system should be not only based on those party royals, should I call it, those who've been been a party member, because those party delegates, some of them, they've been Republicans or Democrats, maybe for the last 40 years, or some of them have even retired. But the thing is, the world has changed, and the thinking has changed, and we are experiencing a different type of world. So we having the same views with those people who like, have been participating 20, 30 years ago, and influencing politics, it's not good. And we're all wondering why Donald Trump is getting traction, because he's resonating with what's happening today. I don't support Donald Trump, but that's where the politics of, should I call, old politics and today's politics, they are not, they don't correlate. So
okay.
In short,
okay.
Things
I hear your argument.
Yeah. Mm. Right.
Okay, let me bring in somebody else. Bachisewe, what do you say?
Thank you, Vanessa, and for giving me this opportunity. So let me start by saying this. A friend of mine is an African. His son was born here, and him and I were coming from church, and I like to engage African kids who have grown here. And he's going to a private school. And we got to talk about the violence, about the shootings. You know, so I was asking him what does he think, and we spent 45 minutes. This is an African kid. Then he was telling about. Then I'm asking about Trump. Then he says, you know what? These things happen at the right time, because my teacher, every time this something happens, he will explain why this thing is taking place. You know, and why do they have the delegates? Why they have this? And this government, the way they distribute the wealth, you know. For us, sometimes we don't know what's going on, but this system is a pretty good system when you understand it, you know, and it's a fair system. But when you don't understand it, it's a very complicated. I mean, I was really impressed with a boy that boy, when he grows, he's going to be an African, but even an American who was born here, who's not educated about this system from the beginning, if that boy runs for an office, he's going to engineer his campaign. Like Bill Clinton can engineer, like Barack Obama can engineer, because they understand the system. And for us, as especially for those who are in learning institutions, let's copy it. Let's not engineer the wheel. It's a pretty good system.
Okay.
Like previously I've said, you know, these people came from Christianity, philosophy, science. From them they start like from the minute, from the smallest to the biggest, you know.
Mm.
There's law that governs everything, you know. So
okay.
For me, I'm just saying what Dr. Mutsanje did, let's learn from these people, you know.
Okay. Mustafa, the convention thing. And you remember very well, if I may remind all of us here, you remember all of us that the only time PF at the convention is when they had to find a replacement for Vasata. Secondly, before PF people start throwing stones at me, UPND has never had a convention. You can correct me if you want. How many times has HH stood for president? Mustafa, your thoughts on this convention thing?
It's not the same. Conventions, Zambian democracy is not American democracy. Right? Zambian democracy is broken. What I mean by broken is that we have a parliamentary system that elects a president with a popular vote. That's why it's broken. Now, what do I mean by this? Parliamentary systems, you can only run for office or become prime minister in that case if you are the head of a political party. You have to be the head of a political party to become, to run for the president, so to become prime minister. Therefore, if someone gets elected to be leading the party, you don't need the convention because you have already decided who that person is. And that person wait even for 30 years to do that. The American system is different. If you are chairman or president of the RNC or the DNC, you are not automatically going to be a presidential candidate. Your job is to run the political party, right? That's why anyone then, they have a system now within that political system to choose who can run for, what do you call this, for the political, whatever, for the presidency, like you pick. You can even come from outside like Trump did.
Yeah, both Canada, Trump and the Bernie. Bernie is independent. He's not actually a Democrat.
Yes. So basically that's the difference. Because even if you look like in the UK, right? The person who replaced Cameron was not elected by the British people, right? He just won the party leadership because that's what parliamentary democracy does. And for as long as that person, the party is popular and that person is popular within the party, he can stay leader without having convention. So we shouldn't be mixing the two.
Okay. But I'm sorry, but which system would you prefer?
The system I would prefer myself, I would prefer the, like now, the way we have, you see, where the problem is in Zambia is that the system that I would prefer is a system that you elect, the way we elect the president in Zambia, with a popular vote. At the same time, you don't say if you are president of the party, you are going to be the candidate. You stop that, right? Now, that is not up, because you see, the Zambian constitution itself says that. You have to be, say for example, any one of us here, you cannot just leave the U.S. and say you are going to run for office in Zambia. They won't let you. You have to have a party, you have to have, you see what I mean? And they built that on a political system. Now, I know the people are talking about conventions, what they are saying, and I agree with it, but that's not what we are.
Okay. Excellent. Well, that makes sense, Musala, and I like your reasoning. For those that are joining us, welcome to the discussion. We are looking at a review of Zambia's democratic and electoral process, lessons from the Republican National Convention, and based on what Dr. Monsanje posted on his wall. Vakalonde, what are you saying? You've heard what the colleagues have said. No convention, we need a convention. What do you think?
The system in Zambia is different from other systems, and the whole notion of getting ideas or copying from other people also can become problematic, in the sense that, you know, we all don't think in the same way. We have seen even the system here in America where people have complained about the way it is done because there's no democratic dispensation that is really democratic. There is no foolproof to every democratic process in the world. Now, coming to the Zambian situation, actually, I posted on Dr. Monsanje's. I responded saying that in 1990, when we went for the convention, I was one of the delegates representing Copper Belt. We had the same system that they have operating almost basically at the same system that they have here
Here we
Let me cut you short. How were you chosen, or how were the delegates to the convention chosen?
This is how the delegates were chosen. The delegates were not chosen by the people. What happened was, or what happened in the Zambian system was, if you are a provincial representative, or you are on the committee, or you are a district representative, or you are on the committee, you became a delegate because you were voted by the district and you were voted by the province. So that became a representation for you to be as a delegate to go to the convention. Now, is that what is happening today? That's where the problem is. What is happening today is totally different. You are not a representative of anybody. You just probably just picked. Nobody even verifies, like we saw the last convention in PF. Nobody even verifies who is a delegate and how you became a delegate, because people wanted to win by all costs. So it's with what
so you breeds,
do or what
it breeds corruption, right?
Exactly, exactly. But in our case, that time, moreover, we were under UNIP government, but we were provided with police inspection, at the same time protection, and they verified each province because they had a list of the delegates from each district and the list of delegates from each province. So getting there, for you to get your ID and every documentation, you had to go through the process.
Okay, good. Thank you. One of the people, I'm trying to read through the thread from Dr. Munsanje's posting. One of the people who responded strongly, I want him to share his thoughts and how he responded and stands on this position, is Cletus. Cletus is not a stranger to those of us that call in here regularly. And I always like it when people come from a different perspective, because like I said about Ted Cruz on my posting, which I'm going to move to after Cletus, is a Ted Cruz situation. Cletus, you responded to Dr. Munsanje, and you don't necessarily need to say what you said on the wall, but can you share your thoughts on what we are talking about here?
Yes, Dr. Munsanje clarified that he didn't mean we got to copy everything. He said we could learn something, and my thought was that there was very little to learn from, you know?
Yeah.
And the problem is, the problem I'm finding is, even from people from back home, is, you know, they are just looking at the balloons and, you know, flowery speeches. They are not looking at the underlying problems that the Republicans, you know, show the world, you know? A lot of countries look up to America, and if America thinks this law, you know, they will mislead a lot of people. They will mislead a lot of people, then they won't have, you know, that pride to say that we are the beacon of democracy, you know. They are messing up that name, you know. And it worries me when a good friend like Musala says the Zambian democracy is broken. The fundamentals of the Zambian democracy are very solid. They can see, you know, this disruption, you know, political violence and stuff. Those are aches. It's just like you have a pimple. You can't say that, you know, your body's done, you know. Those are bad things, but they don't show the bigger picture of how good our system is in Zambia. For example, Congress in America, the last sitting Congress, they had 300 bills undone, 300. If you go to the Zambian parliament, they don't have anything that they didn't do that was on the table. Just that, you know. They are working. Even if you can say that, oh, they are manipulated by the political affiliation and stuff, yes, those are wrong things, which can be corrected in the process. As we get educated about how democracy should be, we, the Zambian people, should purify the system. If you look at the work that they do in Zambia as a parliament, it is good. They do their work, even if it's not to the satisfaction of everybody. The Congress in America, 300 bills, not done in a year, 300. And how many did they do? Very little, you know. So there, it's not like, oh, we can copy anything that we see, or we can learn much. We didn't have much to learn from, and I stand by that.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I clarify my point? Sorry.
Okay, you can. Your name was mentioned, and then I'll go back to Dr. Munsanje, then to area code 727-3586. I want you to get ready to comment. You can go ahead, Musawa.
Cletus, my response was on context. The context was about conventions, just conventions. That's why I said it's broken. It's broken because it's a hybrid of electing a presidential candidate using a different system of government, right? So that's the only part. I wasn't talking about how people vote, how parliament is run. That's not what I meant.
Okay. Dr. Munsanje, you heard the responses of the gentlemen so far. So let's build on this discussion again. What do you further say? What are your further comments? You are the one who raised this side.
Mm-hmm. I respect all the submissions that have been made by Musava, Kretas, Vakalonde, and the others and yourself. I think I still maintain that we still have something to learn from these conventions. After all, guys, we live here, or we live in Canada. Some of the systems that we use, like the internet, even the Blog Talk Radio, where we are talking from, have been created from America. So let us learn something from what they are doing. Even learn what not to do, like I wrote yesterday. Let us learn to tolerate dissent. There were people who were demonstrating outside the convention, the Republican convention last week. But, you know, the police are doing their job to protect those amendments, whatever it is, freedom of expression. It has to be done to protect everybody. So I still maintain that we still have a lot to learn, and we need to, I agree with Baham Saba that our system is different. It is okay if it is different, but let us see, tell us what, how we should do, because we are among the people who are privileged to be where we are here. So our people in Zambia, they will continue using pangas if you don't tell them what is the best way to do. Thank you.
Okay. Good. Let's go to area code 727. Good morning.
Good morning. Actually, it's an alternative phone that I'm also using.
Is this for Alan?
No, Kasonso.
Oh, okay. Maybe, are you still on 703?
I'm still on 73, yes, but I'm using my brother's now on 727 because 703 was giving me problems.
Oh, okay. All right. Go ahead with your comment. Let me hear your response before we switch the topic here. I'll send you a message.
I would like to thank the good doctor who had put out a concept to be able to learn something from the Republican convention. I think he's right on the money, and I actually admire his humility in acknowledging that he seeks other contributors to provide more information because not everybody is an expert in everything. What I would like to draw our attention to is a phrase that is commonly used, but is written in the creeds of the United States documents, the Constitution and other places. It is the words, a more perfect union. How this system, for instance, in the United States has come about, they have been independent for more than 200 years. So by Zambian standards, it's a very odd country. And even where we come from in Zambia, we usually like to learn from older people, elderly people, because they have been there and they've done that. And what they have in the United States, Musawa, is also correct, is very different from what we have in the Zambia. For example, here we have, in Zambia right now, we have multi-party democracy. Here they have a two-party democracy. And they know they have created a system that works for everybody. So when do you have a two-party democracy or a multi-party democracy? It is critical to have intra-party democracy within the party, so that you are advancing the ideals and the causes that allow you to form a more perfect union. What we have lacked in the Zambia, which we desperately need, is actually the kind of leadership that we experienced from the first two presidents. The first president of the republic, he had problems with multi-party democracy because of tribal fights and tribal wars. So he created a system of democracy called one-party participatory democracy. But the way it was carried out, it ended up becoming a de facto dictatorship because there weren't other contributions to make it a more perfect union. When the opportunity for multi-party democracy had come, we created a multi-party democracy, but it's a loose system where actually you actually create some sort of cartels. And since the two first presidents, I haven't seen any other president conceptually come up with how we can advance a more perfect union. The current prominent political parties in the Zambia, the UPND and the Patriotic Front, there is no concept of intra-party democracy that is there. That's something that we can pick from the Republicans and the Democrats. We can have some intra-party democracy where a choice for leadership that is going to be there is going to be done at the fundamental level and then at the higher level. I disagree with the idea that our democracy in the Zambia, the institutionally, is good enough. I think that we can do well and we can do better. We need a clearly defined governing strategy for a political system that continues to grow and strong institutions that can hold our own system accountable. With that said, if we do not have a clear governing strategy and a clear governing infrastructure, what will happen is that we will be coasting from one party to the other party and no major political changes, and the governing of the country is going to eventually be chaotic.
Okay, let me go to, let me see, what I'm trying to do here is to get an input from somebody who was watching from Zambia and how they saw this thing turn out. Amalatse was trying to help me connect somebody who I respect very much. He's non-partisan, he's level-headed. I want him to give us his perspective from a Zambian point of view. Are we on, Yama?
This is a dream of an abdication, giving up your rights and the rights of your descendants
to throw the cross. Oh, okay. I think Matsewe will let me know when he connects the gentleman from Zambia.
Nathan, let me just acknowledge the previous speaker. I didn't catch the name, but it was he really articulated very well, and thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. That's good. Matsewe, let me know when we are ready for Zambia.
I'm quite sure.
Okay, I think he's trying to do his best. He'll let me know when we get there. What I want to do right now, I don't want to start another subject before we hear from Zambia. Alan, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning. It's a
go
yes,
ahead.
I've been following intently, but The thing is, so when we see something happening that is seems to be working, we are not saying, I don't think Dr. Musanje implied that we come and copy the American system letter for letter. And then on the other hand, if you have a system, just like my friend Cletus had said, there are certain things in Zambia that are not working which you can correct. On the same thing, we can't look at what went wrong with the Republican convention and see say their whole system is wrong, it's corrupt, just because they left 300 bills on the table. There are certain things in principle which we can learn from. For instance, if you really want a truly representative, a president, and I think it would benefit the political party, if me as president had within the party, like Dr. Kasonso had been saying, within the party, there's a democratic process that allows Abena Chinsari to have a say in whether I should be president of whether UPND or PF or whatever. My members in Chinsari should have a say. My members in Mwansabombwe may have a say. you know, and the convention, the one that we saw with the MMD, the first one in 1990, was when I think was one of the best that we've seen in Zambia at that time. Unfortunately, we have a tendency to throw out the baby with the bathwater. So we can take what worked then. Where are we as a Zambian, as a country, and what can we borrow from this side, from UK? Like, for instance, part of our system may be linked to the way politics are done in the UK, but there are critical things that are not done that the UK does that Zambia doesn't do. Just like some of it can be likened to the American system. There are certain things which the American system does that Zambia does not do. But that does not imply that we stop learning and we stop evolving. We are a society and growing. We need to keep evolving. You know, even our systems must match the day that we are living. 1991, we were all united in two parties, basically. So it was easier to do things. Some of these changes of laws will help curb even some of the violence that is going on. But when people don't have a say, that's why you end up with 55 political parties in Zambia. And I know that's an exaggerated number, so don't get me on that one. But that's why you end up with so many, because if I don't have a say in my political party and I'm frustrated, what do? I just go and form my own because nobody's listening to me. But if there's a democratic process within the parties, it will tighten some of these things up and actually strengthen the political parties.
Excellent. Okay. Area code 204, good morning.
Good morning. Very interesting discussion.
Who is this? Your name, sir?
This is Wesley.
Wesley, okay, Wesley. Let me throw this scenario to you. Mr. Trump read Senator Cruz's speech, and he was aware of the contents of that speech. I'm changing subjects now. I think we've exhausted the convention thing. He still allowed him to speak on the convention floor. I think, in my opinion, Mr. Trump set up Cruz to put him in a spot so that he endorses him. I don't know what your thoughts about that were. He read his speech, remember that, but he still allowed him to speak in the convention. I don't know what your thoughts about that are in comparison to our Zambian system.
Well, I mean, whether or not he knew the contents of the speech, for me, it's not like it's relevant. But the fact that, you know, a democracy allows different views. So
yes,
people should be allowed to express themselves even when they disagree with you without, you know, any consequences. And that's where in Zambia we seem to have a problem because we don't allow people to disagree with us. I always say that I would love to have a president, you know, a situation in Zambia when people in the cabinet or the people that are closest to the president can say, can go on media, can go public and say, I don't agree with what the president said on this. So, you know, his ideas on this without any consequences. Once we get to that level, I think it's going to sharpen our democracy in many, many ways.
Excellent. Excellent. When you say we need to learn to allow people to disagree with us, my goodness, that's a big one right there. Eric,
yes.
Good morning. Eric, good morning.
Good morning, Vanathan.
Your thoughts on the Cruz thing, you heard what I said to Wesley. Trump, like Wesley has said, whether Trump knew the contents of the speech or not, it still allowed him to go on the platform and talk.
I very much doubt.
But Cruz has
always been a controversial figure, so I expected what he did, and I don't think he would have been allowed the people.
You are fading, Eric.
Yeah, I think I might need to talk later. My line is not okay, sir. Sorry.
Oh, okay. That's okay. Okay, that's okay. Let's get Matilda's thoughts on that.
Nathan, my thoughts were, sorry, I was still in the conventional mode. Could you please repeat the question so I can contribute on the current conversation?
No, no, you can speak on the convention. You go ahead and speak on the convention.
All right. I took some time to ask some friends in England how their process is. They do have conventions as well, but they're not magnified the way they are here. So sometimes we don't get to hear or know about that. Now, in Zambia, like you pointed out earlier, more recently there was a convention, but that was because, you know, we had lost a president. But looking at previous political processes, I don't remember that ever being there. There are benefits for conventions because that's where the political affiliates get to meet. The different constituency members and constituents get to meet at those conventions. Just like we saw here recently, right before Trump was, even though CNN had already said he's been nominated, if you're watching CNN, there was a time in that process where some people demanded to know the statistics, who got what vote, you know? So that, I don't know if it happens in Zambia, I'm sure it does, but maybe we don't get to hear about it, so it's not as highlighted. I would like to know more from those who know the process better than I do. But the convention system works here in the United States. I just want to understand, before I say anything about what goes on in Zambia, because I'm not too familiar with the process in Zambia.
There's a process in Zambia. Oh, okay.
Nathan.
Yes, go ahead, Mustafa.
You see, this is why I think where I was misunderstood by Cletus, and why probably Dr. Munsanje might think I'm just disagreeing with what he's saying, right? I'm not disagreeing with anyone. What I'm saying is that in the UK, Canada, Australia, Japan, Israel, they elect party leaders so that they can lead the party to form government. And some of them stay for as long as they can until they win that election. When they see someone can't win the election, then they have a convention to elect another leader. They don't have a convention every election cycle. That is what we have in Zambia. The MMD, people talking about the MMD convention, that MMD convention was to elect not a presidential candidate, but to elect an MMD president, because according to the Zambian constitution, you have to be a political party president to run for office. And that's why people leave political parties in Zambia, because the only way you can become president in Zambia is to become a president of a political party, right? Now, to support Dr. Munsanje's point, right, the Republican constitution in Zambia has to be changed to say you don't need to be president of a political party to run. That way, people then in Zambia would be challenging their leaders in the political party to say, now let's have a convention so that whoever, someone can be governor of Senanga, right, and win the primaries, if you call it that way, to run for office. In this way, then we are going to eliminate this discussion. At the same time, we also have to factor in the cost. Can Zambia afford the cost of conventions and primaries? Those are things we also have to consider.
Okay. Well, my other thing is that my other question to all of us here is this. Let me let Zebron respond to this. Before he goes and loads his bazooka. Zebron, where are you? I think, okay, I hope. Zebron, are you there? You're on the road. Zebron,
hello.
On the road?
Zebron, I'm saying you're on the road.
Can I come in while we...
Who wanted to come in?
This is Wesley. I just wanted to follow up on what the previous speaker mentioned. I think...
Yeah, go ahead.
He raised very important points. I think what we also need to differentiate between our political system and the West political system. So you have to be very careful because Zambian political parties are often formed, you know, often by disgruntled individuals, you know, who often feel a sense of ownership to those parties. You know, they often self-sponsor those parties. In addition, they monopolize the decision making, you know, in those parties. So while conventions are, you know, a good part of the democratic process in America, they're very impossible to replicate in Zambia, you know, as the earlier speaker mentioned. But I think our biggest threat as Zambians to our democracy is, you know, it's the constitution and it's the government in power. I think those are, to me, our biggest threat to our democracy, because once we find a way of controlling, you know, managing the government and having a really established constitution, I think in many ways we are going to formulate a very, very good path to our democracy. We have to be very careful because American democracy is not really a perfect democracy, and it's, you know, when you're America, when you're American, it's easy to think that America is the best country, it's the best democracy, it's the best everything.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, it's not. Like, I mean, you know, the way Americans elect their leader is confusing, and not even Americans understand it, you know. And so, you know, but going back to Zambia,
I like your reasoning. Okay, I want you to address this thing. Both Trump and Sanders said the system is rigged. Can you address that?
Well, I wouldn't say the system is rigged myself, but I would say that it's a very difficult system to understand. You know, I live in Canada, I live in Canada, and I used to live in the U.S.
Okay.
And it's very difficult to understand the way Americans elect their leaders. It's rigged in the, you know, and I think I've heard some of the explanations rigged in the sense that, well, the way delegates are elected and all that stuff, but I don't think it's rigged because that's how those parties chose to, you know, to elect their leader. That's, you know, that's what their constitutional or rules say. So they play by those rules, and by that, then it's fine. However, when we look at how the whole process goes, it's just confusing. Like, I think there are many ways of electing leaders. For me, like, one thing that I've suggested is that as Zambians, we probably need to think about electing leaders in parliament. Like, let's do away with the presidential election in Zambia. Like, why not elect political parties, members of parliament, and then whoever wins the majority of the seats
in parliament. That's what
Yeah, whoever wins, you know, we just elect leaders, so we just elect MPs, and whoever wins the majority seats, you know, they pick a leader from parliament. That way, we take away the powers from the president and put the powers in the, you know, parliamentary, in the legislative institution.
Interesting thought. He said, so we basically just addressed one item here. I've tried to get away from it, but we keep going back.
I know you have.
I know.
Nathan, I think we are missing the argument. I don't think any of us is saying we should duplicate letter for letter, word for word, everything the U.S. does. What we are saying is that there are certain aspects of it that we can learn from. For instance, I'll put it a simple way. The U.S. way of electing, whether even at party level, let me just speak to the party, the way they choose their leaders is more representative, more reflective of the feeling or the choice of the country than what we have in Zambia right now. That's all we are saying. We can learn from that. How do we make the leaders that we choose in Zambia, even for political party leaders, if the political party president becomes the national president, then how do we make it more, the choice for each party of their president, how is there a way in which they can be more reflective of the people's choice? How do you do that? By getting a lot more people, from giving everyone from every corner of Zambia the opportunity to do that. So you put a system in place that will allow everyone in every from every province to participate, if that's the way that we want to go. So we are not saying everything the U.S. does or the U.K. does is what we should do. Some things may not work because of, you know, where we live and the economic factors, the cultural factors, whatever, you know. But there are certain fundamental principles or ideas that we can learn and implement which will benefit us as Zambians.
Okay. Interesting. It looks like we have a challenge with the call from Zambia. I think we may try to do that. Sir Titus, I was going to come to you.
Good morning. Hello, everybody. Good morning. Mm-hmm. Just listening and
your dad was involved politically at a very high level. And I'm sure you saw him go to conventions and the party. What was your experience? And I don't know what your contribution to this would be, to this discussion.
I think I didn't watch closely. I saw him going to conventions and stuff, but I didn't mm-hmm. watch closely what was going on. But I hear what people with different views have. I think we have to merge both areas of what people have said. What I see is that I think the way we express ourselves is either when I explain something, I'm shooting off what other people say. So we should be able to phrase things properly. I think we need both. Either there is surely something we can learn from what was going on with the convention, and also surely what is working in Zambia. So we should be careful how we are phrasing things. It's just the way people are putting things, where maybe they emphasize something that nullify somebody else's point.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Interesting. I think we, for today, let's, I think we have done what we can do with this. And our thoughts, we have done our best. Like I said, I wanted us to go around and try to talk about other things, but it looks like everybody has, we all got stuck up on the convention thing. Within the convention thing, I must admit that we've discussed quite a number of things, and I appreciate everybody's input and your contribution. We're going to switch gears here, and I want us all to just take a round, and let's see if we can just switch gears here. I'm going to play a song. And let's all just listen to this historical song, and then we shall pick up the discussion from there.
Nalindilele. Through this song, I remember and celebrate the life of Zambia's unsung heroes. I remember Robinson Puta, Titus Mukupu, Lawrence Katilongu, Michael Chilishe, Patu Sumoko, Tim Mvula, Teddy Chilambe, Spox Chola, Brian Chwangi, Godfrey Chitalu, Alex Chola, and the unnamed mothers, daughters, and sisters that have inspired us all for the greater good of this country. So hear me out. Thank you.
All right, that is Josiah with Akamangu. Josiah is one of our friends, contributors, and partners on this forum. And we are happy, always happy, to have Josiah join us on the show and to talk about some things and the new release of a single that he is on right now. Josiah, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. How are you?
Good, 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 good. I heard from Sala, who is within the same geographical weather conditions, say Zambia right now is colder than Canada. Is it? I'm surprised at that.
It's very true. People are complaining at home. Here it's 30 degrees, and then with Humidex it's about 35. And
oh,
the Zambian...
wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. For somebody listening to you, Josiah, for the first time, and that song that I was just playing, Akamangu, talk to us about that song before we talk about the new song that is coming out.
Akamangu is actually really a tribute to Zambia's unsung heroes, people who contributed to what Zambia is today, and people going from the people who fought for the freedom of the country, and also those who have actually contributed to the growth of the country over the years. So you immediately think of politicians first, but there's actually a wider group of people, so broadcasters, musicians, journalists, and for me, names like Goretti Mplanga come to mind, Tim Mvula, Isaac Mulinda, Hagai Chisulo, KB Musokotwane, Mainza Chona, then also their names like, the Katilungus of this world, the Putas of this world, Patrus Tumoko. So there are a lot of people that actually are not or have not been acknowledged in the same breath as the politicians. So Akamangu for me was really a way of remembering those people, that they even right now, it's not just one person who's contributed to what Zambia is today. So it's not even the politicians who are running the country, but there are people who are amazing, doing a lot of amazing things in Zambia to move the country forward, in Solwezi, in Shangombo, Kumbala, all those areas, there are people actually running the country, not just from Lusaka.
Amen. You see, Josiah, to that point that you are raising about the people running the country, and we were looking at some things here earlier on the show. Why do you think as Zambians we've gone to that place? I can use this word without any reservations. Where we've gone to that place where we've literally handed the nation to the politicians?
I think, in a way, it stems from the one-party state, and I think that we haven't really, really come off that in many ways. Even constitutionally, the powers that the president has. So even though we are a multi-party democracy, there's still strands of that, it's still one party. But also, I think what has not helped is the fact that our country is not is not decentralized. So everything happens from Lusaka, So Lusaka controls everything, and by extension, the president. So it's a complex topic, but I think the roots are very much from the one party state, and we haven't moved away even to go to a level where actually institutions are independent of the executive. I think now more than ever, everything is so tied to the executive. It's so powerful. It's so knowing. So in my view, it's a complex topic, but I think the roots stem from the one-party state, which we have not gotten out of. I think because usually when you move away from that kind of state, you must have systems that also are actually democratic, and I don't think we've done that.
Yeah, systems that are democratic. An issue that we were just trying to engage ourselves into in the previous segment. Dr. Monsanje, don't go away. I want you to say something. I want to engage you and Chasai at the end, towards the end, as we go along here. Kachila Kambushi, or is it Akachila Kambushi, which is the right way to say it?
I think you would say Akachi Lakambushi.
Uh-huh.
But I think that for Bemba, Akachi Lakambushi, when you're saying it's Akachi Lakambushi. So when you're saying it, it's more Akachi Lakambushi. When you're writing it or
okay.
saying it, it's Akachi Lakambushi. And
Kachi
that's more, I think, yeah, the linguist there would have to correct me. But for me, it's Akachi Lakambushi when you write it.
Dr. Lakaswansona Lakalandepo, they can comment on that later. Talk to us about Akachi Lakambushi. I don't know why I'm failing to say Akachi Lakambushi. I'm hearing myself sound like a Texan when I say Akachi Lakambushi.
So I know it's written. I know it's written as Akachi Lakambushi, but
it's
that's how you would say it, yes. But then it's Akachi Lakambushi, and it's more how the Bemba say it. But Akachi Lakambushi was initially a song that was sung during the struggle for independence. Literally, it means put your house in order. And so in those days, I think there was a movement to sort of, I think there was a system where people had to use their thumbs to get favors.
Yes,
and
yes.
you know, to do certain things. Yeah, so I think that came from there where they're saying, you know, and I think people who did that were considered as sellouts. And so the song came, you know, yeah, you know, Akachi Lakambushi. And for me, the extension now is really that Zambia is not just for Zambians.
Mm-hmm.
It's for everybody, you know, regardless of color, regardless of tribe. And it's also, for me, a call now for the country to unite. It calls everyone to account, for all of us who are Zambians. So from the first citizen, who is the president, to the 13th million Zambian, to account, to know that, first of all, Zambia is beyond all of us. Zambia is there. It will outlive all of us, and we found it. And I think that it's incumbent upon us to keep it the way we found it, but even better, to leave it in a better state than we found it. And so unity is at the core. Zambia has been united all these years, and except now, there's a lot of polarization over the years, and I think it's driven largely by the politicians. So that song for me is a call to remind people that, yes, initially Zambia was for black people because we're fighting for our independence, but after that, it's for everybody. And right now, as Zambians, we have to work hard to move the country forward. Ubunangani, Tabutwala, Nangukumo. And then also I appeal to the head of state, whether it's current or ever will be coming, that they have to listen to the cries of the people. You know, Kateka, Umfirabantuove, you know, Badisekera Mchalo Chove. And so I think for those listening who are wondering where the song is, you can actually, if you go to SoundClouds and just search for Chasaya, you can actually listen to Akachi Lakambushi right now. We just released it today.
Oh, right. Cool. SoundCloud, okay?
Yeah.
Apologies to everybody. I wasn't able to upload the song in time for the show, and we'll be playing it. I'll commit to play the song next week so people can go to SoundCloud and search for Chasaya. Is that right?
Yeah, it's actually soundcloud.com, Chasaya, and then Kachila _ Kambushi, Chasaya, and you find it there. Yeah.
All right. Before, let's go. Let me play one of Chasaya's songs about the state of the about the nation, not the state of the nation. About the nation, and everybody, let's listen to this. This is a good piece.
Let this voice be heard across that land, spreading the message of love. We know what the past has been, not what the future holds. We trust God will see, He'll see us through. United we stand, but divided we fall. Diversity our common ground. Zambia, the land we love, the very reason we sing this song. Zambia, the land of peace and hope. Reach out and touch someone else's life and make that nation a better place. Won't you sow the seed of hope in other people's hearts and help their dreams turn into reality? Countless trials and shame lingered lie ahead, yet one day we shall overcome. Zambia, the land we love.
That is Chasaya's, one of Chasaya's songs called Zambia, the land that we love. Chasaya, why is it important for us to realize that Zambia belongs to the person that maintains the surroundings and the streets clean, the one who works at the shopping mall, the one who works at the hospital, the one who works wherever they work? It doesn't belong to the rich. It doesn't belong to the politician.
It's very important because with some, like, as they say, and, you know, I always get emotional. Sometimes you ask me these questions, and you know where I'm going to run to. I think because a country is not built by one person.
Right.
A country is not built by a group of individuals. Yeah, for all of us, I know, Nathan, when you were in Mufulira, when you were growing up, when you went to the shops, people who served you mattered. I think when you went to the shops, you wanted to buy bread. If there was no bread,
yeah,
you knew you'd not have breakfast. The person who worked in that bakery shop, the grocery owner who owned that shop, made things or life for you, and that's how you've grown up. Then you met teachers. They imparted you knowledge that you've used today to be who you are, and going on to even allow you to be in a position to marry the woman that you have. I think if there were those people were not around us, and I speak for myself, I don't know where I would be. So each of those people, whether it's the cleaner, the janitor at Kaede Primary School, where I went to primary school, the janitor at Kansenshi Secondary School. You know, all those people had an impact in my life, and they made the school run. And for that reason, they, by extension, have actually made Zambia grow up. And every day, and even now, there are people caring for our kids who are growing up. So each person is very important, and that's why it really matters that the preservation of peace for us is important. It's not for politicians. It's not... Zambia is not for Hakainde Hichilema, it's not for Edgar Lungu, and I think we must realize that very, very crucially. It's for Nathan Nkama, it's for Chasaya, it's for the person in Shangombo, it's for the person in Mazabuka. It's for everybody. No one should have a key and say, no, this is mine. No, Zambia is beyond that. It's for all of us, and I think that until all of us are happy, then Zambia won't be a better place. All of us have to be happy, enjoy Zambia just like everyone else. No one should have a lock on Zambia, not the politicians, not the business people.
Right.
Everybody should have a key in Zambia.
That's right. The song is available on SoundCloud. Just search for Chasaya and you'll find it there. Dr. Monsanjo, you are listening to Chasaya speak. Your thoughts?
Hello, Nathan. Thank you very much from... the musician, Mr. Chasaya.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I just wanted to make my last statement to thank all those who contributed to this open radio discussion, and obviously we thank you, Nathan, for leading it. We have demonstrated freedom of expression right here. And this gives me to remain confident that Zambia will one day reach there. Maybe not in our lifetime, but we are moving towards the democracy, and so far we are doing good. Thank you.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Josiah, we are in an election period, and I know you've spoken, you've said quite a bit, you've opened up your heart. Your songs are just right on the money. I'll play one of them, which I like, Vanamayo, in view of my solidarity to Kenya for deporting Kofi Olomide out of the country, for abusing one of his women singers in his group, kicking her in public. He's a fool. Even if he has apologized, I've refused to accept his apology personally because he's a bigot and he belongs to prison. Your words to all of us listening, because at times, like I said when Musaba was leading an earlier discussion, to say Zambians have become social media, political social media experts. Don't you think we need to tone down fueling this thing and how we are making our posts, how we are making our comments? At times we tend to get the impression people are more passionate about UPND than their family or parents.
Yeah. First of all, I really want to agree with your sentiments about Kofi Olomide. My song, Wanamayo Wambi, is really advocating against gender-based violence specific towards women. So I think what the Kenyans have done is set a tone. Kofi Olomide, this is not the first time he's done this. He has a pattern. He did that in Zambia. There's a record, and he was let go. The Kenyans know what to do. You just set a tone. He's a musician, and you know, we respect his art, but I think beyond that, touching a woman is unacceptable. Coming to the election, I do agree with you. The sentiments, even when people are actually disagreeing, the tone is really almost like fighting for your life. That if you can't get my point of view, then I have to harbor you with demeaning sentiments. I don't think that's right. I don't think we're setting the tempo. So it's almost become like who says the most demeaning word. And obviously, if you're not going to treat your friend with respect, they'll respond in kind. Same way with violence. If we're treating other individuals in a violent manner, they'll also respond in kind. And you know these things, they tend to come back. So I certainly do agree the tone, whether it's social media, or even when people disagree with you. The answer almost seems to be like a putback where I have to have the final say. And I think that we have to respectfully learn to disagree. This is a democracy.
That's true.
There will be a winner, there will be a loser, and Zambia has to move on. But this tone of disrespect is just not okay. And to your point, actually, I have noticed that people, even in families, it's become an issue where if they disagree, I know one friend was telling me that actually he's stopped communicating with his family now because obviously they share different political views, but the tone. And so he says, okay, just to preserve my peace for now until the elections, that's when I'll start communicating so that to wish Chibululu, because now I'm misconstrued. And so the tone is really from both ends of the floor, whether it's the opposition or the ruling party, has to change.
That's very true.
And I feel that
yeah.
the leaders also not helped on both accounts. They have not helped to set the tone to really like, let's have a meaningful debate without disrespect, because as a child, I was raised in the 80s. All I've known is respect. So the Zambia I see now is very different. And I think sometimes when I go home, like last year I was home in September, you sort of think that your Zambia that you left is your ideal, and the country has moved on and you haven't. But it's just the Zambia we left. And so we long for respect. I think respect does not have a time frame. Respect for human being. It's just that. It's not about fashion. Even here, I think in our jobs, we demand respect. If you don't feel respected at work, then you don't feel valued. So I think we need to tone down the debate. I know the stakes are high, of course, but I think there are things we can do meaningfully in a respective way that does not anger or provoke or feel the other person demeaned.
That's right. Well said, Josiah. As always, thanks for your time, my friend. The single, or for that matter, any of Josiah's songs are available on SoundCloud. Just go there
and search for putting the word or his name, Chasaya, and it will come up. For both campaigning in Zambia, campaign peacefully. Somebody is going to have to win, whether it's your candidate or not. Somebody will win. Thank you, everybody, for participating in the discussion, in the debate. That's the way democracy works. And I just want to say that today we're supposed to have election monitors from the European Union. They are very efficient on communication, I must say, and commend them, that I appreciate. They are out in the field somewhere in rural Copper Belt, and they have assured me that whenever they get an open weekend, they are going to join us here and share their thoughts on what. And on the final note, I just want to say a dear friend of mine whom I worked with for so many years at Fountain of Praise in Lusaka, Pastor Eddie Chansa. My friend, I'm praying for you. They just put his wife to rest today in Lusaka. Love you, my friend. Praying for you. We're going to miss your dear wife, Louie. She was a very special lady. Everybody, have a good weekend. Join us again and follow us on Facebook, Zambia Block Talk Radio, and on Twitter at Zambia Block Radio. Bye. Mulekee, mulekee, mulekee na mayo, mulekee, ukuchilo kula mchusha, mulekee.